You and I, like our brothers and sisters 1900 years ago, are fighting a spiritual battle for the heart and soul of our cities, here and around the world. And this is not a battle that can be won through politics or through education. It's a battle that can only be won through the transformational work of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Transformed Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Powers, with another installment of our three-part series, What Now? Last time, Dr. Matthew Lee Smith talked about the actions we as Christ followers must take in these growingly secular days we live in. Today, Pastor Matt wants to show us seven strategies of culture change from the words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6. As we grab our Bibles, let's ask God to focus our minds on the reality of the spiritual battle we're in and seek to find help and hope for the coming days of darkness.
We're continuing our series that we're talking about. What do we do now? And last week we talked about how our culture is crumbling. And it doesn't take a lot of an ability to observe, to watch that happen. Our culture is just falling apart around us. And those of us who've been around know that Christians are under attack like never before. And you and I want to ask a simple question. What do we do now? What's the strategy? What will we do? I mean, after this June 26th Supreme Court decision, I said last week for same-sex marriage, most of us began to realize this world is not our home. And that was a good thing in that way, because some of us had got a little too comfortable. We're finding that we are being vilified wherever we go. In fact, Chief Justice Alito asked the Solicitor General in that decision, if religious colleges risk losing their tax-exempt status if same-sex marriage is recognized by the court. And the Solicitor General Verrilli said, I don't deny that. It is going to be an issue. Another person responded then and said, the Solicitor General of the United States, who's the highest legal officer that represents the federal government before the Supreme Court, admitted that that was the likely outcome. Now, we would say, well, that's Christian colleges. We don't worry about that. But then we have to understand that the attack is also coming on the local church. Ferris says that no one should think that the IRS implications will stop with colleges. Religious high schools, grade schools, and any other religious institution will face the same outcome. And this includes churches. All of these entities are exempt from taxation under the same section of the IRS code. And even though churches can be exempt without application, their exemption can nonetheless be revoked. We keep watching this happen, and you know the influence of the American church in over culture is non-existent today. And you and I need to pray. We need to ask ourselves some serious questions. How do we engage like Jesus would have us engage? What do we do now? In Ephesians chapter 6, I hope you still have your Bibles open, I want to talk about seven key strategies that Paul gave to us. In a society that was much worse than ours, the church flourished. In a society that was much more sensual than ours, the church flourished. I was reading this morning, and I was reminded that oftentimes when men were on business trips and their wives were about to have children, of course they would write correspondence back to them. And I read one such letter today from a man who said, if it's a boy, then we will celebrate. If it's a girl, throw it out. Because girls didn't make reputation grow. There was a whole cottage industry where people would go out and find these babies that were thrown into alleys and thrown out in the fields that were just crying. They would go out and they would grab these girls and they would raise those girls. And you say, oh, that sounds wonderful. And I say, no, it's not, because they were raising them for prostitution. America is far from the first century. We are still a moral nation, but we are under attack. And in a much worse society, I say it again, the church not only grew, but it thrived. And it did that using a simple strategy. And so you're in Ephesians chapter 6. You're there with me. And you'll notice that it begins in verses 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You and I cannot, we cannot live in America anymore if we're not going to walk intimately with Him. It's not going to work. You could get away with churchianity before, but you can't get away with it now. We need to be firm. Power of the might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil's working overtime right now. He knows his time's short. Now, you may have heard somebody else teach on the armor of God. And you went away and said, oh, that's nice. I have no idea how to use it. But that's okay because Doc's here now, and I don't like those kind of messages. If I can't give it to you so I can use it on the way out the door, then we don't need to be here. We can just turn off the lights and go home. Eat, drink, and be merry. Because tomorrow we're dead. So what is Paul trying to tell us? He wasn't confused by con man preachers. He wasn't confused by false prophets who came into churches, who were telling the church that if you follow Jesus, everything will be wonderful. I'm telling you, if somebody's told you that, they've sold you a box of rocks, a bag of cats. You have got nothing to help you with. Let's be blunt. If you're going to walk with Jesus, I'm going to walk with Jesus, it's a battle. It's a battle. And it's going to be a bigger battle from now on. Notice what he says there, be strong in the Lord. Power. We need power. You know that? Remember that old hymn? There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. We need that power again. We need people, men and women, we need to be powerful people. We're not confused. I put in your message notes there, if you want to just look at it with me. Remember the purpose of the devil. It's like his mission statement. It's in John 10:10 there, right on the front of your message notes. Remember what it says? The thief doesn't come except to steal, kill, destroy. That's the mission statement of your enemy. He's here to steal, to kill, to destroy. He's here to decimate you. He's here to destroy all you have. Your marriage, he's here to destroy your faith. He's here to destroy the church. He's here to destroy your job. He's here to destroy your possessions. That's what it's all about. When something is stolen from you, the devil is behind it. You ought to get excited. When somebody steals something that's yours, you ought to get excited. The devil's noticed you. You must be a threat. He's trying to tear you down. He's there to destroy. Look at verse 12 in Ephesians 6. This is what Paul told the church there in Ephesus. This is what he tells us. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. You got to stop thinking political parties are going to be of any value to you. I don't care whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, Green, Orange, Purple. I don't care what. Washington can't solve our problems. Our problems are solved in the prayer room. That's where our problems are solved. You don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Don't worry about gangs. Gangs aren't your problem. We have a bigger battle going on. We need to pay attention. We wrestle against principalities. Now, some of you may work for the city. And so you work for the municipality. Pal is a city. A principality is the prince of the city. There is a satanic prince in charge of every city. We wrestle against them, principalities, and powers. These are the people that work together, the henchmen, if you will, demons and evil that works together, principalities and powers, and rulers in the dark places. Do you ever wonder how life really works? I always get a tickle out of people who think that when they put their vote in the ballot box, it makes a difference. But Melody and I have been around for years. We've seen the election results posted by accident, several times long before the ballot box was ever counted. Our church was a polling place in Pico Rivera for years. They were posting the results while one of our people was still counting them in the fellowship hall right next to my house. Folks, we work against rulers in the dark places. Now, some people would be afraid of that. Some would be worried about against spiritual hosts. These are angels, fallen angels, demons. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Folks, there are battle lines everywhere from in this city all the way into the next dimension of demons. There are battle lines against us. And we can't live this life anymore going around going, "Oh, I think I'll just go down to the mall and have a good day." These aren't mall days anymore. These are mauled days. Your enemy wants to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so what do we do? What do we do? Notice what it says in verses 13 and 14. "Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand." In other words, you're going to have to put up a defense against the evil day. Here we are. Today's the evil day. "And having done all to stand, don't back down." That's what it means to stand there for. Don't back down. So what do you do? Fill in the blanks with me. What do you do? The culture's changed. Everything's not what it used to be. Look at verse 14. "Therefore, having girded your waist with truth." Anybody wear a belt? Wear a belt. Okay, belt. In the Romans, soldier, he'd have a belt. Now the belt held his undergarment in place, and then he had a toga, an outside, like a dress, a toga. And when he was in battle, he'd grab the sides of the toga and stuff it in the belt. Now the belt had a protection in front of it. From the front of the belt, it had armor plating to cover his most private parts. And so you and I are supposed to put on this belt of truth. You say, "Doc, that doesn't help at all." Sure it does. Where does the enemy attack? The enemy attacks in your most private parts. Sex. It's true in the first century. It's true in the 21st century. Where was the attack June 26? Sex. Same sex marriage. The attack on the family is being greatly... I mean, then there's porn, and then there's Hollywood, and it just keeps coming. And so if you're filling in the blanks, strategy number one, just write it down. We must be people of truth. Truth when it comes to we walk what we talk. If we say we're Christ's, we need to keep a clean life. If we're Christ, we need to do what we say. We need to walk. If you're married, you be pure. If you're unmarried, you be pure. You walk in purity. You follow in truth. And notice what it says in verse 14. You put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now we talked about, at the communion table today, we talked about that the righteousness of Jesus Christ is our righteousness. But the Bible uses the word righteousness. Have you ever used the word righteousness? Anybody use the word righteousness? Talk about righteousness? It's not a word we use, right? I mean, it's not... We use a shorter version of it. What is it? Right or wrong. Put on the breastplate of right. Now you say, "Well, that doesn't work in English too well." Good, we'll throw in a word. We'll put in a verb so it helps. Put on the breastplate of doing right. There you go. That's it. Do what's right. Right according to whom? According to the Word of God. You say, "Well, I don't know the Word of God." Read it. It's pretty simple. You say, "Well, I don't understand it." Well, get one in English or Spanish. Get a version you can understand. I've read 30, I'm on my 38th read, cover to cover. I've read it virtually every English translation there is. And I'm telling you that all of our minds are wired differently. Don't look at the person right now, but you know somebody in your family who isn't wired right. Okay, don't look at them. Okay. By the way, if you can't think of anybody, you're going, it's you. And there's a Bible version for your brain. Trust me. There's a Bible version. Get one that you understand. Get one that you understand. And read it. And read it. And figure out what's right. Read the book of Proverbs. Today's the second. Read chapter 2. Tomorrow's the third. Read chapter 3. Read through the book of Proverbs every month. Solomon was the wisest guy other than Jesus Christ in the Bible. Listen to what he had to say. And put on... See, this is... Behind the breastplate were some stuff that you and I kind of value. What's the most valuable thing behind the breastplate? My heart. I have AFib. In other words, every once in a while, my heart decides, instead of going, da-dump, 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 it decides it's a drummer and goes, da-dump, 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 da-dump. By the way, if that happens, I go kind of swimmy. Okay? So I'm on medication and I'm on diet and certain things to watch, all that. Listen, your heart's important, right? Bible says in Proverbs, guard your heart because out of it flows the issues of life. So what should you do? Second strategy, it's pretty simple. Strategy number two, we must be people who do what is right. Right according to God. Oh, but you know, I'm saved by the blood. I can do whatever I want to. Yes, you can. But not for very long. You can drink all the poison you want. But not for very long. You can drive at 120 miles an hour on the 405. But not for very long. You see, you can do whatever you want. Somebody said to me, well, I'll still go to heaven. I said, yes, a lot sooner. You get there, and all of a sudden God says, what are you doing there? Now listen, if God shocked that you got there early, you weren't doing what was right. So, first of all, we're going to speak the truth. Second, we're going to do what's right. You see, right living is God's GPS system. I thank God for, you know, I've got one of those smartphones, and I've got that new app called Waze, and I love it because everybody talks back to it, and it tells it, and yesterday Melody and I were trying to get somewhere, and it took me off the freeway and took me through who knows where I went, but I got down there into where I needed to go in LA yesterday despite all the traffic, and I was still early. That's what God does. God knows all the problems in front of you. And if you will spend time alone with God and you will do what is right, God's right will turn you away from all of the troubles, obstacles, and trials of life. You and I need to do right. He's our GPS. And He guides and directs. But by the way, He doesn't guide and direct stupid people. I'm just going to be honest with you. The Bible's very clear. Even God can't fix stupid. The Bible's very clear. Don't believe me? Read the book of Proverbs a couple times through. You'll figure it out. In the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, stupid is called fool. And there's seven different kinds of fools. Don't look at any of them right now. Okay, I don't want to get in trouble. Let's move on to the third strategy. It's in verse 15. You got your Bible there? For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. Now, I got a question for you. Help me out. Have you noticed how many crabby Christians there are today? Have you noticed? Grumpy, gripey, complainy. I don't like that. You offended me. Oh my goodness, that's not the way it should be. You know, when somebody starts off like that, the very first thing I know is they're not walking in the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Peaceful people don't complain all the time. Crabby Christians everywhere. Notice here, look at what it says. What does it say? It says, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news. Now notice in your notes, I put that in the NLT because, quite frankly, the King James and the New King James just ain't going to get it into the English that I understand. Feet shod. How many of you ever said shod in your entire life when you weren't reading a Bible? Shod. Shod. Okay, that's like shed, but it isn't anything like it. But for your shoes. Now, I only wear New Balance shoes. That's because Melody's orthopedist said that's the only shoe you should wear if you ever want to keep your feet in good shape. It's the only one you should wear. So that's all we wear. These are my dress Nike New Balance. Okay, these are my dress ones. I have a walking pair and I have an everyday pair. And I just, listen, have you worn the wrong shoes ever? Get a little too tight? What happens to your face when your shoes are too tight? Do you know crabby Christians? I know crabby Christians. Their feet aren't at peace. Now listen, people lean in the direction of the affection. If you're married, this is free marriage counseling, okay? If your wife or your husband is distant from you, it's your fault. Fix it. People lean in the direction of the affection. Just like plants turn towards the light, you start saying wonderful things about the other person, and they're naturally going to move toward you. You're crabby and prickly like a cactus, they're going to find somebody else to say those things. Free marriage counseling. No price. Okay? Now, if you'd like to give me $20 on the way out for that, that's fine. I'll take it, but I'll put it in the offering. But I'm just telling you. So what's the third strategy? We have to be people of peace. We have to be people of good news. You notice the church is trying to win the world by saying, you're going to hell. Oh, that's good news. That doesn't work. My mom used to say that a little bit of honey is better than a whole bunch of vinegar. Just be sweet. You can be honest. Speak the truth in love. If you can't speak the truth in love, be quiet. Figure it out. Grow up. Get a life. Learn how to speak nicely. There are a lot of things I want to say. Have you ever wanted to say something and knew you shouldn't? Oh my, you can wreck a relationship in 5 words. I mean, it's not hard. So those are the times I have to zip it. Just close it up. Now, you and I ought to realize what Psalm 68:19 says. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. And then at the end of that, the psalmist wrote the word Selah, which means stop and think about it. Have you thought about all the benefits that you have in Jesus? Have you thought about all the things that God's done for you? Have you thought about all the things He does today? Not the stuff He did 2,000 years ago. Some Christians can't get out of the past. Let's get into the present. What did He do this week? I went to speak yesterday. It was a tremendous opportunity. I went to speak. I spoke at an urban church. They said, would you speak? I said, sure. They said, okay, we have a budget. That's all they said. They didn't say how much they were going to pay me. I didn't care. I went down to minister. Went out in the parking lot, got in the car, opened the envelope. Almost didn't come today. Almost was in the ER from a heart attack. Whoa! Yeah, that was it. I just kept looking at it. Whoa! My wife said, how much is it? I looked at her with a look. Whoa! Daily loads us with benefits. That was a financial benefit. I went out this morning and picked tomatoes out of my garden. That's a benefit. Have you been thinking about the benefits? It's my birthday. I got a birthday present yesterday. I got a birthday present the day before. I'm going to get a birthday present today. I've had over 150 people say happy birthday to me already today. I mean, come on. That's a benefit. But if we run around with like having some sort of nasty, stinky stuff under our nose all the time, we don't share good news. Now, notice the four strategies in verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. If you haven't been hurt lately by somebody throwing something that burns your soul, you must be dead. Because these are the days of blame and rage. Everybody's angry. I was driving down the freeway yesterday. On Friday. There was nowhere to go. The guy behind me in a great big F-150 truck is beeping his horn, flashing his lights, and telling me I'm number one. And so finally I got out of the lane and he hurried up and got nowhere. And he yelled at us when he drove by. Hilarious. I'm sitting there going, that guy's going to blow a gasket. and not in the truck. Come on, folks. What is wrong with people today? That can never be true of us. We have to take the shield of faith. Now, don't think shield like a round thingy. Think shield like a door. Like a door. You're supposed to get behind it. Faith is believing that God will. Faith is believing that God will. You take His word, you believe He's going to defend you. We're in a battle. We're fighting. And you and I have to constantly defend. Sometimes it's financial. For us, Melody and I, we were struggling. We were wondering what we were going to do. Our car was giving us some trouble. I took it to the mechanic, and he called me back the next day and said, "You need a new engine." Thanks. How much? $1,743 for a used one, because I have a Saturn 2002. Whoa, you got to be kidding me. I had talked with a friend of mine the day before, and we were just talking back and forth. He lives in Colorado, and I told him about the car, and I don't know what's going to happen. He said, "Well, let me know." He said, "I'll help." And so I emailed him and said, "Well, I got the news, and it's $1,743." And an hour later, he sent me back an email. He said, "I'll send you a check for $2,000. You see, if you don't get worried about the problems that come to you, because what comes to you, God is already working for you, that's faith. If you have a walk with Him, remember, you can't walk churchianity anymore. You got to walk in a relationship. You got to trust Him by faith. You got to trust God's going to. God will. Say it to your neighbor. God will. No, say it to your neighbor. God will. God will. See, if you don't believe God will, then He won't. That's called faith. Faith shields us against the words. God shields us with faith by the accusations. God shields us through faith from the attacks of the enemy. Strategy number four then is we must be people who stand by faith. It's that simple. It's not easy. It's that simple. We have to stand by faith. Fifth strategy, look at it in verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation. I love that. In battle, a helmet is supposed to protect you when somebody takes a sword and tries to whack your head in half. My friend Paul was driving home one night about 2 a.m. from work. He fell asleep. He was on his motorcycle. He hit the gravel on the side of the road, lost control, flew 150 yards in the air, hit a telephone pole. Straight on, with his helmet on. He fell into the ditch. Somebody was driving by a little while later and saw the accident had happened. They called the police, called the paramedics, came along, they scooped him up, sent him to the hospital. He was okay. The police walked over and picked up his helmet. Split in two. Motorcyclists call them brain buckets. You and I need to defend our mind. How do we defend our mind? Salvation. The helmet of salvation. If you have bowed your knee to Jesus Christ, if you have surrendered your life to Him, if you have accepted the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ, you're saved. And Paul would go around and he would teach this lesson to everybody. Do you remember what he used to say? You know, the devil wants you to believe you're not saved. Do you remember what Paul used to say? He would tell you, "You've been rescued." He would say, look at Acts 26:20 in your notes. "My message was that they should change their hearts and lives, turn to God, and that they should demonstrate this change in their behavior." If you've done that, if you've come to faith in Jesus Christ, if you have done three things: repent, turn to God, and proved it. You're saved. You don't have to worry. You're saved. God's going to help you. All you got to do is ask. Cry out like a little child. So, strategy number five, we must be people confident we have been rescued. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Have you noticed how many Christians don't read their Bible? Have you noticed that? They don't read their Bible. I'm on my 38th read, cover to cover. This one's a little marked up. There's only two pages in this entire Bible that you can find where there aren't any markings. I mark up my Bible because I have one of those memories like you do. It forgets everything that I don't mark down. I have lists for stuff. I couldn't remember the order of service that I sent to you today, so I had to go and get it out of my phone so that I could find it. Well, what did I do? Well, yeah, that was a week ago. My memory's not what it should be. Roman swords, about two foot long. Now, have you ever gotten pricked by a nail? Or a tack? Imagine if you got skewered with a sword. Imagine that. Roman swords, that's up close and personal. That's what the Word of God does. It skewers your problems. It skewers your problems. You take the Word of God and it simply solves your problems. So strategy number six is what? We must be people living skillfully according to the Bible. And finally, Paul says praying. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We're to pray always. Did you see that? What do you do when you get a problem? Lots of people get a problem, and what do? Complain. Ow! Why did this happen to me? Instead of, oh, this is cool. God, why'd you bring this into my life? Pray always. Notice that you're supposed to pray with every kind of prayer. Sometimes you pray like this, Lord, help me. And sometimes you should pray like this, help! By the way, that last one is called cry out. And in the Bible, it says that when you cry out, God answers immediately. I did an entire study, cover to cover. God answers immediately when you cry out to God. Just like when your little child is screaming because it's got its foot stuck and it clamped in the door, you go running. That's what God does. And we should pray with all perseverance. You don't quit until you get what you need. You just keep praying and praying, and finally you pray for all your brothers and sisters in Christ. So strategy number seven is simple. We must be people strategically connected to God in conversation. We just need to talk to God. Now listen, this is practical stuff. You just use this stuff, and I guarantee you, I don't care what hell throws at you. You will stand firm. But don't back down on these seven strategies. Don't back down. Stand firm. And then you know what happens to the devil? He goes away and bugs somebody who's not defending themselves. Next week I want to wrap this series up and talk about, since we're talking about what now, I want to talk about what should we be doing. I've talked about how the society's crumbled. I've talked about what our strategy is against the society. Now, what did Jesus send us out to do? What should we be doing as a church? We'll talk about how we fulfill the Great Commission next week. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. You're an amazing God. You give us and 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 give us. And we thank you for that. And we thank you today that we can remember that you are a God who wants us to thrive in the midst of a society that's thrown you away, that's not interested in you anymore. And you want a revival to come. And so, Lord, we pray that it might start in us. And Father, we pray all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
And with that, Dr. Smith wraps up this timely and challenging message from the Word of God. It is our sincere hope and prayer that you will choose to flesh out the words of the Bible in your daily life as a result of listening today. Would you help us spread the word? Could you take just a moment and contact a friend and share the link to this message and encourage them to listen as well? Thank you. Christmas is right around the corner. With Christmas only a couple of months away, we know you would like to get your shopping done early and give a meaningful gift this year to the ones you love. Dr. Matthew Lee Smith has written two daily devotionals that cover every day of the coming year, allowing you to give the gift that keeps on giving, God's Word and His encouragement in the lives of your family and friends. In His Presence is a detailed look at walking with God through life's ups and downs, built around the premise that God welcomes you into His presence with joy and pleasure. In His presence helps you see that the life of abundance can only be enjoyed when we take everything to the Lord and walk every day at His right hand. In His image explores God's great love for humanity in every book of the Bible, from the creation of Genesis to the culmination in Revelation. God's love shines through every page. Never is this ever clearer than in the times of Israel's great betrayal of their God. His passionate pursuit of His children can be heard dripping from His voice as He calls them, and us by proxy, back to His shelter and protection. You can order a copy of In His Image or In His Presence from Amazon at the Eagles and Leadership website by clicking the appropriate link on the right-hand side panel on the Eagles and Leadership website. Today's episode was recorded live in Commerce, California at the First Baptist Church and edited by Melody Smith in La Puente, California. And now until next time, we're praying that you would be filled with the hope of God so that you can stand firm in the midst of our crumbling culture.